Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
I have known Gary Houston, my guest, who will be talking in a minute or two, for something like 50 years now. I've known him as an actor, as a writer, as a reporter, and also as a wonderful human being. How's that for an introduction, Gary?
Well, I don't know how to follow up on it, actually.
just talk and be interesting for a half hour. Gary does so many different things. We're going to talk about a couple of them now. He is the managing editor of Chicago Quarterly Review, which is just out with volume 40, its fall 2024 edition. Gary, it stuns me that this is the 30th anniversary edition. Does it stun you, too, in some fashion?
Well, it stuns me if you can also take into account the view of a senior citizen for whom time flies faster and faster the older he gets. But I do remember Saeed Heder, who started it in 1994, which probably wouldn't remember if it weren't for the fact that we're making a big hullabaloo about it now with the 30th anniversary issue. When the publication started off, it was the shape of the kind of notebook that you'd have in high school or college. What they call a chapbook, but it wasn't. A chapbook is something that consists entirely of one poet's poems or something like that. These things were issues of the Chicago Quarterly Review, and they actually came out like a quarterly. They came out four times a year, and now it's book size, and the content of any one of them is good enough for three of those old issues, if not more. And that's also true in terms of the volume of quality literature and fiction and nonfiction.
And the variety of it, and poetry. This one I'm holding in my hands, this 30th anniversary issue, is more than 400 pages long, and it is filled. When did you, Saeed, who I know and who's been on the show with you before, he writes that it was born out of conversations among a group of Chicago writers who also happened to be friends in the spring of 1994. You were not part of that group of friends then, were you, Gary?
No, I was not. Sorry I wasn't. But I did get some things into that issue. not in that issue. One of those issues, one of them was, in fact, I think it might be represented in this issue. Is the A Dog Found is one of them. And there's one called, what was the other one called? Still Life is another. But they're repeated in this one. I hope my fellow editors don't hear this, because I don't know if that we're supposed to do that.
Some of your other editors have pieces in here. Peter Ferry, who I adore, who's on the board of directors. John Blades, who is the fiction editor, unbelievably has a piece of fiction in here. And I love John, too. Let me ask you, Gary, over the years, it must, in that the outlets for good writing in book and or magazine form have shrunk. You must get, I'm assuming you and the other staff members, and I will make the point that you are an all-volunteer staff.
Yep, we are.
You must get just hundreds and hundreds of manuscripts, don't you?
Well, the thing is, John Blades and the two senior editors, Elizabeth McKenzie and Saeed Heder, they get all of the because they have submittable and on the computer on the internet, so you go that way. So I don't get hit with too many of those. And then we have for fiction, the poetry editor Jake Young handles the poetry course, and we don't have a nonfiction editor. We used to. So that's fielded by mainly, I believe, the two senior editors. However, I always encourage people to submit through me if they want to. And I said I do not have the authority to assign or accept, but I do have the authority to encourage. And so, and then if they're rejected by the bosses over me, then I always feel that they're going to hold it against me that I encouraged them and the damn thing was rejected. But I still send forward pieces that I think really should be read. And so it's just a difference of opinion at that point if they are rejected.
You must. I got this just a few days ago and I've been plowing through it and I found some really, I think, really stunning work. Another friend of mine who was included in Miles Harvey, who is a professor
at DePaul
University, has a lovely title, Six Drunk Boys in a Dodge Coronet. And Peter Ferry, who is literally one of my favorite writers, he's, you know, he taught at Lake Forest High School and among his, a wonderful, wonderful guy and a great writer, started writing late in life, and among his students were Vince Vaughn and Dave Eggers. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes.
You know more than I do.
I've known Pete for a long time. Even as managing editor, you should keep Gary Houston. I think you should probably keep your distance from some of these if you're not become too friendly. I find it just a remarkable collection. There's a piece in here. I don't know if you read this or have read. I don't know if you could read all of this stuff in here. Anyway, there's a piece by someone named Charles Kenny, who I don't know. It's a fabulous nonfiction story called "In Search of Herzog's Chicago." Do you know that piece?
I did, yes, because that was one of the 100 that was in the 100 pages thrown at me to proofread. So I did read it, and I noted that he was talking a great deal about how much Chicago's changed since Bellow wrote that novel.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
That's one of the aspects that comes through to you, is simply the change in the city itself.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's just a remarkable issue. How many copies do you print initially?
That is a good question. I believe in the thousands.
Oh, right, that's now. Great.
And whether or not they're all sold is another matter.
Said's
vestibule at his home in Evanston has a lot of back issues stacked up. You know.
Well, you've got to give him my best. You can go to, and we're going to keep Gary on for this whole half hour, but you can go to, it's easy to go to ChicagoQuarterlyReview.com to get a handle on this. I love it. Saeed, I'm guessing, wrote this editor's note. You know, he writes, we now have hundreds of submissions to choose from. And you're working on, you've had, and I loved some of your themed issues. I think I wrote about your Chicago issue. I think you wrote about, I wrote about the anthology of Black American literature. You're now upcoming, Saeed tells me, is a special issue on Native American writing. That sounds fascinating because I have no idea the scope and range of Native American writing.
I think it's a great idea. And we were thinking about it for years now.
Sure.
And it was just, it's always a question of who do you get as a guest editor?
Right.
And that's how it starts. I mean, for the Black Anthology, which is what we call that issue, Charles Johnson was approached because I got to know him because of a play of adaptation of his novel Middle Passage I was in.
Yep.
And he came to Chicago from Seattle. Good friend of August Wilson's, by the way, the late August Wilson.
Sure.
And he did that, and he felt he had never done a guest editorship before. So he was always asking for us to be sounding boards. But he did, and he had a lot of contacts. And it was a product of one particular editor's ideas of who would be, you know, appropriate in such an issue as that. That's what it has to be. If this is a Native American issue, the guest, and we have selected one, but I can't remember exactly the name.
I got it here.
That person is going to have to go to his or her range of contact, not necessarily everybody's in that field. And so that will make a very individual issue.
I can't wait for that. The man's name is going to be guest edited by a man named Brandon Hobson.
That's right. You're reading from the introduction.
Yes. No, I'm a genius. I just know this stuff. Yes, I'm reading from the introduction. Gary Houston, hang on for a couple of minutes while we get some messages here, and then I want to talk to you about there's another person included in this 30th anniversary issue of the Chicago Quarterly Review. former colleague of mine named Mary Wisniewski, and she and Gary have collaborated on something interesting. We'll tell you all about that in a couple minutes. I'm on the phone with the managing editor of the Chicago Quarterly Review, which you can order and further explore at Chicago Quarterly Review. My friend Gary Houston is the managing editor of that publication. Volunteer, by the way, but he also recently did some audio work for our mutual friend Mary Wisniewski about a person who has sort of shadowed my life forever. Mary wrote a wonderful book called Algren, A Life, about the famous cantankerous odd writer named Nelson Algren. Gary has played Nelson on stage. What was that? Did you jump at the chance to do that, Gary?
I did jump at the chance. Yeah. We had to postpone it because I had a gut surgery. I shouldn't bring this up on the radio. But anyway,
I'll try to find out. We'll call a doctor or something. Go ahead.
The late Sheldon Patinkin was going to direct it, but because my ability to do that was pushed back some months, Rich Katovsky took over the direction, and he did a fine job. And Rebecca Covey played Simone de Beauvoir. And so the play was called Nelson and Simone.
Sure.
One of Sheldon's contributions was, it was just a two-hander. It was Nelson and Simone. But they kept that. Sheldon apparently said to the playwright, John Sussman, you know, the trouble is, it's just those two over and over again. It's almost like you again. So they talk about Sarge. Why don't you just get Sarge in there to mix things up? So we've got an actor named Fred Wellish to play Jean-Paul Sartre. And I think it made it work better anyway. So we finally did it at the Live Bait Theater when it was on. Oh, it still is. I think the people who founded that theater still live there on Clark
Street. On Clark, right, sure. Just north
yeah,
of
just north of Irving Park.
Yep, I would say north of Wrigley Field. Yeah,
yeah, that's true too.
So, how difficult had you done audiobooks before?
Nope, it was the first time.
What was that experience like? I have no idea what that's like. I mean, I certainly know it's a growing market, for God's sake.
Well, it was painless, and the only trouble with it was my finding the place where we did it somewhere on the west and neighborhoods I'd never been in before, and circuitous routes and everything, and MapQuest was hardly any help at all. In fact, I got lost my first day, I think, trying to get over there. But they were very accepting of anything I did, and frankly, I was supposed to be the voice of Nelson Algren simply because I think Mary had seen the play. And I also did, you know, the Nelson Algren Committee around the time of his birthday have hold a reading session. And so for years now, I've read Nelson Algren stuff, not anybody else's, and I like doing that. And so every now and then I would use his voice. Like one of them was from the book Conversations with Nelson Algren. You remember the guy's name? I can't remember. It was
Shag it was. Donahue. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Donahue.
Yep.
Or
H-E-something. Yeah. Yeah.
Donahue. Yep. That was the last one. And I fell into a way of talking because I listened to his scene in Goldstein, that
uh-huh.
movie that was
yeah.
made way back in the 60s, as well as the thing where Studs interviews...
Sitting on a couch somewhere. There's a
Yeah, I think it's a billy goat or somewhere. He says, why Patterson? Well, it's just no problem getting there. I mean, of course, you go across the Atlantic, and then you go around the Horn, and then you go to San Francisco. Somehow it amounts to getting to Patterson, New Jersey. So that's very funny. Anybody should tune it in the internet. So I would use that voice when I thought about it, but many times when I did some of his quotes, I said, I don't know if I'm doing him or not.
Yeah, interesting.
So I have to hear it myself sometime, you know. But also quotes. I think she gave me some quotes by other people, not necessarily Algren.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a night by I don't know how much you want to talk about Algren, but I'll just say my one encounter with him was when I was very unversed in his novel
sure.
or his poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's been true of my interviewing life a lot, or meeting famous people. I never get to know them very much until after.
After, yeah.
I could never take advantage of it. I think I'd read Neon Wilderness at the time. That was about all. I mean, that was back when Watergate was going on, at the Serbian Club. Yeah. On Milwaukee near sure. Evergreen.
Sure.
And, well, there's more to it, but ask me some questions.
Well, did you like the book? I'm assuming you like. I think Mary did a really good job.
I did write the book, and I don't want to compare books because I did read the previous book by Bettina Drew.
Yeah.
I think this one might be better.
Yep.
And because I think it's chock full of more specifics.
Well, just a complicated guy. He and my father were pretty, and my mother were pretty close. He dedicated the second edition of City on the Make to Herman and Mary Lou, misspelling my mother's name, of course. But he was, what did you make of him, Gary, when you met him?
He seemed to be very quiet at mm-hmm. the time. He didn't talk that much. I think maybe he was. We were with Ebert, and he brought us over to his apartment. And I believe we were a little stoned, and we were drinking a lot.
Sure.
I have one great image, and I always tell it. I'm sitting on the floor, as hippies back then did.
Yes,
and I'm
we
looking
did.
Up to my right, and he's sitting in his easy chair. And in front of him is a low, round table. With on the top of it, what I call a necropolis of booze. That was like a city of bottles. And I thought one day, if I ever make it, I'm going to have something like that. So that was the ambition I acquired for the night.
What a thing to aspire to. What a thing to aspire to. Gary, it's great to talk to you. I miss seeing you, and I hope to see you soon. We've been talking to my friend Gary Houston about the 30th anniversary issue of the Chicago Quarterly Review, which you can explore further by going to chicagoquarterlyreview.com. And you can look into Ogden A Life, the audio version now starring Gary Houston, by going to MaryWizChicago.com. Gary, love to Hedda, and love to you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
And tell Saeed and all the other, the non-paying, the volunteer squad at Chicago Quarterly Review that I really, this one's really something. I'm hoping I can write about it. We don't do much book coverage anymore, but you never know, Gary. You never know.